But we do need to recruit some for this team over here. We need a little more. Our team's are not balanced. Maybe we got quality over here. You ever think about that? All right. That passage that was read a moment ago is particularly meaningful to me, that verse 5. The weeping shall go through the night, but a shout of joy in the morning. I want to talk about that concept for a few moments tonight. Talk about the hope of dawn. We've all spent hard nights. Maybe some of you young people haven't, but those of us who are old enough have had the experience of having to go through a long night. Sometimes it's because of illness. Sometimes it's because of worry about something that's going on. You can't get to sleep. Sometimes it's because of pain, suffering something. I've had back problems where you just couldn't get comfortable. You just try to get this way and that way. You just could not. And you might doze a little bit, and then you'd wake back up again and hurt worse than before. And some of those nights were not too terrible. I remember all three of our daughters were born in the morning after a long night. It was longer for Peg than it was for me, but it was long, and it was tiresome. But oh, the joy of the dawn. Oh, the day comes, and relief comes. And that's so pleasant. I remember one time, on a roommate of mine, we were taking Bible classes at a church in Danville, Kentucky, and we would drive back to Louisville. We were both from Louisville, and it's about an hour and a half, 2-hour drive. And we stayed late one Saturday night, and we had to be back the next day, next Sunday morning. And we came back driving, and he had an old MG. If you know anything about those vehicles, they are notoriously unreliable. And his alternator went out, and the lights began dimming and dimming and dimming, and way out there in the middle of nowhere in Kentucky, and there's a lot of places like that, the car just quit. And it was December or January, and it was cold, and we were stuck beside the road, and there was nobody anywhere. And if you've ever spent the night in 30-degree temperature in an MG with another guy, that's a long night. But the dawn arose, and it was welcome. the sun come up bright and shining, and it warmed up, and we were able to get somebody and get the car going, and we were able to get on to our way. And the hope of dawn is something the Bible talks a lot about. In fact, a lot of stories about it. I want to run through some of them and make some application. Look at this story here. Think about that night Lot, his family spent. After the angels came and the town folk assaulted them, shut them up in their house, beat on the doors, tried to break in that long night. And in the morning, when the morning dawned, Genesis 19:15, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." And they did leave. They left. They did escape. Sometimes we spend long, scary nights. Sometimes those nights last for weeks and months and sometimes years. But there is a day of reckoning coming, a day that will dawn upon the world and fierce and terrible and swift, but we can escape it. And that's what we need to recognize, that we live a life of hope, of anticipating and looking for a dawn that is coming, that we will escape judgment. This story in Genesis chapter 32 about Jacob, it's one of the most fascinating stories about which we know so very little and would like to know more. about exactly what happened, but Jacob spent a whole night apparently wrestling an angel. It says in Genesis 32, Jacob was left alone, and what a difficult night it must have been for Jacob, because he was coming back home from being with his in-laws, far separated from his family, because he had had to flee. He kind of finagled the right away from his brother Esau, feared his brother Esau, ran off, got himself a couple of wives and a whole bunch of children. But he's coming back. He wants to come back. Many, many years later, some 20 years later, he's coming back and he's afraid. He's afraid of what's going to happen when he meets his brother. If his brother is still angry, if his brother is still seeking revenge, he doesn't know. He sends his whole family, all of his flocks and herds, all of his servants and his family, he sends them out and he stays and he spends the night filled with doubts and worry and concern, I'm sure. And this fella comes along, and how and why, we don't know, but he gets into a wrestling match with this guy. And it turns out that it's an angel of the Lord. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And as you know the story, the angel says, "Let me go, the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the angel touches the sinew of his thigh and puts his femur out of joint, you know. But he blesses him. And he blesses him by giving him the name Israel. And presumably Jacob knew something of what it was that this being was capable of doing, and he demands that you bless me. Because he's afraid. He's afraid of what's going to happen to himself, to his family, to his children, his little babies. He's afraid. And he won't let go. He says, I'm not going to let you go. You bless me. And you know, you just have to be that way in life. When you're a child of God, you have to have such confidence and such assurance that God is going to take care of you that you won't let him go until he blesses you. And he will. But that long night of struggle, it's difficult, challenging, the life that we have to live. But the day dawns and the blessing comes. There's a story here in Exodus chapter 12. The night of the Passover, the first Passover. What a frightening, terrifying, and terrible night that must have been. When all through the land of Egypt, the angel of death passes through, and the wailing and the crying and the weeping, but only in the houses of the Israelites who've put the door of the Passover lamb on the blood of the lamb on the lintels, the doorposts of their house. And there they are hunkered down in their homes, partaking of the Passover meal. A long night of wailing and death. But in the morning, freedom, deliverance. It says in Exodus 12, 42, it was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So the same night is a night of watching kept to the Lord by all the people of Israel throughout their generations. You spend the evening watching and waiting and anticipating the dawn of a new day, deliverance, freedom. What a wonderful concept. Exodus chapter 14, not too terribly long after that, they faced another long night of fear and trepidation. When they had gone out into the wilderness and they came up against the Sea of Reeds, and the Egyptian army chased after them. And they see the Egyptian army in their chariots, their mighty force, a mighty army coming after them, and all they are is a bunch of slaves. They're just a bunch of unarmed, disorganized families of slaves. And here the whole Egyptian army is coming after them. Again, an angel of the Lord steps in. The Lord sends His angel. He moved before them and stood behind them and came between the Israel and the host of Egypt. The host of Israel came, separated them. And all night long, this furious flame, this brightness, this cloud of brightness separates them. And what's going to happen? How is this going to play out? The Israelites are afraid. They're saying, "Oh, what's going to happen to us?" And Moses says, "Don't be afraid. You just stand by and watch." And the wind blows. And suddenly the waters part. And in the morning, they cross over. They cross over between the parted waters of the sea. What an amazing dawn that must have been. Can you imagine? I mean, I've seen a lot of beautiful sunrises, haven't you? Well, not as many as sunsets. But to see a sunrise. I saw a sunrise one time. It was the most amazing thing. I was a night watchman. Spent all night long in the dark. It was cold. State fairgrounds in Kentucky. And suddenly the sun, the light began to come up on the horizon. And this huge thundercloud was rising up. And the light hit that thundercloud and brightened the whole sky. And the sun comes up to meet the thundercloud and was just brilliant. Think about that dawn when the Israelites are crossing over the Red Sea and the sun is coming up and the waters are standing there. And then the Egyptian army is released, and it says in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and the cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into panic. And they couldn't cross over. They got stuck and their chariots swerved and they couldn't cross over. And then the waters come together, close in upon the Egyptian army and the Israelites safe on the other side. What a beautiful day. Freedom and deliverance. Dawn of redemption. This story in 2 Kings 19, another story of deliverance. You know, the Israelites are hemmed in to Jerusalem, surrounded. The city is surrounded by the Assyrian army this time. The Assyrian army, 135,000 of the best, most fearsome soldiers that ever existed. Hardened veterans, these Assyrians. Merciless, wicked, evil men. Trained in butchering and persecuting and afflicting people. Story after story in the ancient world of how awful the Assyrians were when they took a city, the slaughter that would occur. And here the Israelites are in their city, and they've got to be afraid. They've got to be praying this long night, not knowing what's going to happen. And in the morning, they get up, and they look out. They look out over the walls of the city, and what do they see? That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. It's $50,000 bonus right there. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Wow, what a morning that must have been. Or this story in Daniel, one that you know well. Daniel spends that long night in that dark, dank den. I don't know why they call it a den. When I was growing up, I always thought, a den doesn't sound too bad. Our neighbor's den's got a TV and couches. A cave, a hole in the ground. And Daniel's in that hole, and the king who loves Daniel, he doesn't want him to be there, and the king won't sleep. He stays up all night. And it says here in Daniel 6 and verse 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And he came near the den, and he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. It's funny, the other night, my wife and I were in bed, and there the dog starts barking, and somebody's outside. And there's a bang on the door, and she doesn't get up. I have to get up. You know, when you hear a noise in the night, you have to go investigate like that. Bang on the door and someone rings the doorbell. And I get my gun and I go to the door. And whoever TP'd my house, you just need to know, you need to be careful. You need to be careful when you come into somebody's house in the middle of the night. But thankfully, I saw the TP and I realized I wasn't going to be shooting anybody. But think about that long night for Daniel. Those lions were right there, and they're licking, you know, and they're stirring, and he's just sitting there all night long. But in the morning, the king comes, and he says, "Okay, Daniel." And Daniel says, "I'm all right. May the king live forever. May my God send his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions." Yes, sir, he sure did. What a nice dawn that was for Daniel. Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. This is a fascinating story about how Jesus lets his disciples cross over the Sea of Galilee. And there's a bit of a wind and a bit of a storm, and they row all night long. And they're rowing and rowing. They're not making any headway. They're rowing all night long. And it says, shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. What a long, dreary, toilsome night. And Jesus comes at dawn. He's walking by and they see him and they're scared, they're afraid. And Jesus, he just speaks to them and he says, Mark 6, verse 50, he says, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." They climbed in the boat with him. And the wind died down. Suddenly they were there. And if you've ever been on a lake, I've been on Lake Galilee, and it was at the time that I was there, it was placid and calm and still and beautiful. And you can just think about that morning. The sun's coming up, and suddenly after that long, tiresome night, Jesus is with them, and they're safe to the other side, and it's quiet and it's still, and suddenly everything is all right again. And it's just like that. Jesus gets in your boat. Things are going to be okay. Matthew chapter 28. Think about these women who love Jesus so much, like mothers and sisters, followed him, supported him, and then he's dead. He's crucified in that terrible, awful way. And they come that Sunday morning after the Sabbath. They come at dawn on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to look at the tomb. And you think about all of their thoughts, feelings on that morning, how totally despondent, brokenhearted, filled with grief, wanting to go and prepare his body even further for burial, not with any kind of anticipation of joy, but only grief and sorrow, but doing their duty and going there in the early morning hours of the night, it's still dark, and the sun starts to rise. And they come to the tomb, and it's open. And the angel says to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." What a dawn. What a sunrise. To go and look in that tomb and it's empty. And to know that he is alive. Wow. Fantastic. Let's make some application, brethren. All of these stories about deliverance and joy in the morning. You know, Psalm 30 and verse 5, the one that was read for our scripture reading. "For his anger is for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime." Isn't that beautiful? Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. We all experience our fair share of sadness and sorrow in this life, just like the stories that we've already looked at here. We all have our own story. And in those stories, there are times and moments when it's difficult to see how anything will ever be bright and joyous again. But have faith. God is watching through the night. He does not leave us. He loves us. And while He may allow us to experience a period of sorrow or loss, there is a morning coming, a dawn, and there will be joy. You can be certain of it. And hopefully that knowledge will help us to get through those long nights when they come. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day." I'd say about the most positive thing that I've ever gotten out of hunting. I enjoy hunting. I enjoy deer meat. I don't much enjoy deer meat processing. One of the best aspects of that whole experience is you go out in the wee hours of the morning when it's dark, and you sit there in the woods, and you slowly, slowly, slowly get to see the light begin to brighten the day. And then the sun come up. It's a great experience. Do the right thing. And keep doing the right thing in your life. And the darkness will lift. And the day will dawn. Brighter and brighter and brighter. You can count on it. The God who makes the day can make your life bright as day. He can. Isaiah chapter 58. Here Isaiah, the prophet, speaks to Israel, and he says, and really to us, because by this time in Isaiah, we're fully into the messianic section. And he talks about what it means to fast and to be devoted to God. And among other things, he says, this is a good fast. This is the way you ought to fast. He says, share your food with the hungry. Instead of just not eating anything, take the food that you have and give it to somebody who really needs it. Share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. And when you see the naked, to clothe them. And do not turn away from your own flesh and blood. And he's saying, wouldn't this be a good fast? Wouldn't this be a good way to show your devotion to God? But then he says this. He says, if you do that, instead of this long period of just going hungry, help these people. And then he says this, verse 58. He says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. What a beautiful concept. This passage, Malachi 4 and verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. This is also a messianic passage. It's the last few verses, you know, of the Old Testament leading to the New Testament. We need to be righteous. Hold on. Be faithful. Because the sun of righteousness is rising. The day is coming. The day of our deliverance. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. There's a couple of different ways that you can take that. One is, you know, you have the Word of God, you study it, you learn from it, and slowly, But surely the light comes and the darkness is lifted and you see and you understand and you grow and it gets better and better, and that's great. But another way to look at it is that, you know, we have the lamp. We have the lamp of the Word of God that shows us the way, but at the end of the way, there is a full brightness of the sun that will illuminate our lives that's coming. What a great, great concept. In this passage, Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. We're getting closer, brethren. We are getting closer and closer and closer. And every day that passes is a day nearer to heaven. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. To live our lives with faithfulness and hope and purity. It may be challenging. It may be have moments in which we have our fears and our doubts. But the day is coming. It approaches. And when that dawn breaks, all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our worries will be wiped away. Like the sun wipes away the darkness of the night. In conclusion, you know, we may pass through a long, dark night of struggle and fear. We all do in some way or another, some of us worse than others. Some of us will have years of relative peace and prosperity and then face a trying time. It all happens. But what these passages, what all these stories, and what all of these revelations from the Lord are telling us is that the day approaches. You got to believe in the day. Have hope. It's a day of forgiveness, of healing, of deliverance. It's coming. And through the Word of God and through these stories and through Jesus Christ, we can already see it. You can see the light, like the glimmer of the rim of the sun starting to peek above the horizon. Let's hold out. Hold out till dawn. Because it's coming. That's my message tonight. I don't know what you're going through, what you're struggling with, what's troubling you. But have faith. Have confidence. If you need to declare your faith in the Lord, turn to Him. Be baptized. Express your faith and confidence in that daylight. Do it tonight. And if you're a Christian who's not been faithful to the Lord and you need to make correction, do that. Don't give in to the darkness. Come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.